You know, they say that if you can walk around while you do your homily, it makes you a more effective preacher. I've always kind of gotten used to the podium, you know, the ambo. It feels, you know, you got something to do with your hands. You can stand there and slam it and da-da-da-da-da. You know, walking around, it's, I thought I'd give it a try today, but it's kind of a new experience for me. And, you know, when I'm working on my homilies, you know, I'll just sit there in the kitchen and just pace, you know, back and forth and be, you know, sitting there thinking and talking to myself and mumbling and looking stuff up. But I get this, you know, a real good pace going. And so I'm kind of worried that, you know, with this homily, I might get into this thing where I'm going back and forth. So if I do, forgive me, I'm still pretty new at this. I'm trying to get the hang of it. But it's a lot more, you know, you don't have that big sturdy thing to hide behind anymore. But the gospel of the Good Samaritan is a great gospel. You know, it reminds me of a time in 2011, I went with a mission group with the Fellowship of Catholic University Students Focus, and we went to Vladivostok, which is in the far east of Russia, over by North Korea, over by Japan. And we went there, and there's a small Catholic community there that's growing in the faith. But we went there to work in a hospice and at an orphanage and to work with a bunch of youth in this really run-down area. And it was just myself and a bunch of other college students. And it struck me that despite the fact that all of us hardly knew a lick of Russian at all, like, you know, Russian's not a language that a lot of people learn, like Spanish or even French or even Latin. I bet there are more people who speak Latin than who speak Russian in the United States. But none of us spoke, none of us could really communicate with these people. But despite that fact, because we were able to show them signs of love, for instance, when we were in the hospice, just feeding somebody and giving them drinks of water, or in the orphanage, just holding a child who needed to be held, or talking with youth who just weren't used to having people talk to them. And for us to be living in houses where people were caring for us, giving us food, giving us shelter, giving us water to drink, whatever we needed, and just showing us that love out of their hearts, despite the fact that we could not speak to them, that we couldn't really communicate anything at all, that there was just an immense feeling of love and being loved, simply through those physical acts, those acts of kindness, those acts of taking care of each other. And I think that's something that we think about a lot when we read this gospel, when we think of the man who was beaten and left for dead, who was stripped and thrown on the side of the road, and the Good Samaritan who shows up and just out of the kindness of his heart tends his wounds and binds his wounds and takes him into town. And it always occurs to me when reading this gospel, the way that I have always envisioned it, is that the man remains unconscious the entire time, and that this Samaritan who's taking care of him never gets to speak with him. The man never gets to say thank you. There's no hope of getting paid back. There's no hope of having the man sit there and think, oh, you've done so much for me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's just out of the goodness of his heart. It's very similar to the Russian situation. It's just an act of love, just an act of corporal love, caring for his body, caring for his needs, trying to make him feel comfortable. And I think that we see that very evidently when we read this gospel, that mercy, that love, those corporal works of mercy. But we have a tendency a lot of the time when we read a gospel that with which we're very familiar to simply just brush it aside once we read it. Oh yes, the Good Samaritan, we all know that one. Moving on. But most of the time also there's something much, much deeper than that. And in fact, for this reading, the ABCs of the patristic age, Augustine, Basil, and Chrysostom, they say, wait, there's something much deeper here. There's a secret meaning, a hidden meaning, an allegorical meaning. And everybody always perks up when you hear about a hidden meaning of the Gospels. You always think, oh yes, you know, I saw this on the History Channel. It has to do with aliens, right? No. They look at the reading of the Good Samaritan, and they see an allegory for our Lord's interaction in the life of mankind. They see the certain man who went from Jerusalem to Jericho, not just as a certain man, but as all mankind. All mankind who in the garden was stripped, who turned away from our Creator, from our Heavenly Father, and we were bruised and battered, and that relationship was radically wounded. And they say, you know, throughout the whole rest of the Old Testament, it's the story of God trying to guide his people back to himself, extending that invitation, trying to remind them of who they are, what they were created to be, the happiness and the love that they were created for, and drawing them back into that relationship. And in this allegory of the Good Samaritan, in this reading, we see the Levite walking by, and the priest, the Old Testament priest, walking by. And the patristic writers look at this and they say, it's what God gave his people to draw them back. He gave them the law, symbolized by the Levite, as in the book of Leviticus. You know, all the rules that are meant to guide mankind in a right relationship with their creator. And they saw the sacrificial priesthood of the temple in the Old Testament, where they're slaughtering the animals in the New Testament, or in the temple, and it's meant to atone for sins and try to heal that relationship. But despite those two things, the relationship is still wounded. Mankind is still not healed. That relationship is still not what it was made for, what we were created for. And so in the New Testament story, the Levite and the priest just walk by, unable or unwilling to help. But in the Good Samaritan, they see our Lord Jesus Christ, who in the fullness of time came and cared for mankind and bound his wounds and restored that relationship, who suffered and died on the cross for our sake, to heal us, to bring us back, to make us once again the full sons and daughters of the Lord. And so they see this radical involvement of the Lord in our lives. It's not just the story of a certain man. It's not even just the story of all mankind, but it's the story of each and every single one of us. Each and every one of us who in our own lives are wounded. Each and every one of us who in our own lives need a redeemer, who need that help, who need that grace, who long for that full relationship with our Creator. And the good news of the gospel is that grace is available now, that our Lord is reaching out to us, that he himself, not remaining isolated somewhere up in the heavens where we can't access him, not remaining in some way that we just hope one day that we can heal this relationship in some abstract way, but he came down to earth to show us his love. He came down to earth to heal that relationship. And additionally, I think we can look at this reading and say, well, you know, it not only speaks to the corporal works of mercy, but also to the spiritual works of mercy. You know, in the end of the story, it's not just that they ride off into the sunset together. It's that the man takes him to the inn and gives him the 2 coins to continue caring for him. And they looked at that and they saw, well, that's the same as Christ continued his ministry through the church. He gave mankind the church so that even after he ascended back up to the Father, that the church would continue to guide his people through their teachings, that the church would continue to heal people, continue to be a light for the world so that people would know God's love for them. And I think, you know, that's particularly beautiful, that joining of the spiritual and the physical works of mercy. Now, I'm gonna ask a quiz question real quick. How many people, raise your hands, could tell me all of the corporal and spiritual works of mercy? All right. Well, the good news is that not a single person at the 4:30 or the 9 o'clock could either. I guess that's the good news. I don't know if that's the good news or not. And in fact, you know, in all honesty, I don't know if I could sit down and list all of them in order off the top of my head. I bet a lot of us, if they sat down with a piece of paper, might be able to remember most of them. But when the Lord presents the corporal works of mercy to us in the gospel, when he says, you know, you who clothed me while I was naked, who visited me while I was in prison, who gave me food when I was hungry, who gave me drink when I was thirsty. When he outlines those all out for us, it's not just, you know, hey, here, think about this for a little while. The story is actually, these are the criteria on which we will be judged. And those of us who don't do that in this life, who don't care for Christ in the poor, in the weak, he will say at our judgment, I do not know him. That's pretty intense. And you know, in seminary, I'd always appreciate it. Sometimes when you'd have a big test, the teacher would give you a study guide and he'd say,
here, these are the questions, you know, look up the answers so that you can be ready. Well, we, in a sense, have been given the study guide for judgment. We know how we will be judged by the Lord. We know what he's looking for in our response to that relationship. And the sad thing is that so many of us, myself included, aren't really familiar with that study guide. We haven't really looked over it. And so I think it's a good thing for us, especially in this year of mercy, to consider looking over those things. And I actually would assign that to you as something of a piece of homework today, perhaps over this next week, to look over those works of mercy, the corporal and the spiritual works of mercy, and to consider both in this gospel and in the life of the church today and in our own lives how we do those things, how the Good Samaritan did them, how the Lord did them for us, and how we as a church can do that for others. Because, brothers and sisters, I mean, we are the Catholic Church. You know, there are a lot of people who sit and criticize the church and say the church should be doing that, it should be taking care of so-and-so more, it should be doing that. Well, that's up to us. Our Lord entrusted that to us, to care for those around us. Not only to care for them physically, to care for their wounds, to feed the hungry and shelter the homeless, but also to be a light to the world, to teach them the faith, to teach them the radical relationship that waits for them with our Lord Jesus Christ, and to guide them into that relationship. So perhaps this week, especially throughout this whole year for the Year of Mercy, we can look in our own lives and consider how can we more faithfully adopt the works of mercy? How can we more faithfully adopt the model of the Good Samaritan and of Jesus Christ our Lord? Think about it. God bless you.